Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, and joining us in the next hour is going to be someone who is like ambidextrous Canadian-American, who can give us the benefit of both worlds with some technical flair, Jeffrey Matt. And we're delighted to have him aboard so that we can get into some of the nuts and bolts of what's happening to us and try to put it into perspective on where we're being led. And I just see it clearly and fully, as I just expect, that there has to be a mark of the beast system and some kind of technology to turn us into something we don't want to be, unless they trick us into thinking we want to be like that. But that's not the case at all, because if it was so good for me, so wonderful, it's just like someone offered you free ice cream without a vaccine, just to have free ice cream on a hot day. Sure. That's great. But when it comes with all kinds of tricks associated with it, then it's like the Halloween trick or treat. And we just get tricked. We don't get a treat. And they walk away. It just boggles my mind how unread people are. Can't say functionally illiterate, but unread. Even to understand the basic fairy tales from childhood. Chicken Little came to mind for this event. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The great COVID monster is going to get you. And no one clues in. Just a tiny, short, little bedtime story for children. And that should start cluing in your mind to say, what's behind the curtain here? Or the other one is, you know, what are all these people, these medical officers of health? And various politicians all over the place expounding this narrative. They're the big bad wolf. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down unless you stay 6 feet apart and wear a mask. And you don't see this? It's just surprising. But we do have a man here who sees a lot and has spoken a lot on Power Hour and brings a nice karmic wave to understanding the difficulties in our world. Welcome aboard, Jeffrey. How are things by you, and how has it been in Montreal?
Well, George, thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a pleasure. And I also want to extend the thanks to everybody in the network for this opportunity. Montreal is pretty good, considering it's in a severe, you know, some people say, oh, it's not as severe as, it's severe. It's super severe everywhere. And, you know, I have a situation where I don't feel the pinch as much as other people. So, but it is, there's been a, you know, protests in Montreal. There's been a lot of stuff happening here. There's been some good things happening. This supposed, oh, they're going to, scale back the lockdowns and phases and all this stuff. It's ridiculous because in Florida and Texas and other places in the United States Incorporated, there's some moves now that fall into line with what I would call, because I'm just a regular person, I would call it common sense. And in that common sense, it's moving in the direction towards constitutionality, constitutional republic. So we have rights, and it doesn't matter how bad the situation is, it doesn't mean you give up everything. And so Canada, unfortunately, and including Quebec and Montreal, and Montreal is a big-time UN city. I mean, it's big-time. They even considered Montreal years ago. It was being thrown around that we could move the UN headquarters to Montreal. So it's a big-time city for the elites. They come, and they the hidden hand people, they show up in Montreal a lot for little get-togethers and dinners and stuff like that. So but most people don't know about that. But getting back to what you were saying earlier about the medical component and the insanity of this whole thing, you know, speaking of insanity, I want to provide a small tidbit of insight as to how the police forces around America, policy enforcers, not law enforcement, policy, and they have to understand, I'm going to start off with something very important. Law enforcement and people protecting our community are critical. I absolutely support any men or women who choose to serve to protect the community and they signed up for the right reason and their heart's in the right place. And in return, there should be a career, respect and all this. But unfortunately, the system is corporate in its policy, and it's not based on the Constitution in my point of view. And so they had to change this all over to what we have today on May 27th, 2021, to have this this incredible attack on humanity. Is you have to look at how you're going to merge the police force with the medical industry. Well, one place you could do it, as an example for those who are researchers, is you go to the Library of Congress and you go look up the Government Hospital for the Insane. Government Hospital for the Insane. Now, so what? It's a hospital. It's an insane asylum. It's a funny farm. Well, if you take a look at the headquarters for the Department of Homeland Security, right? Big, monstrous, incredible, superstar credibility. Well, guess where their headquarters is in? It's in an insane asylum. Now, they changed the name of this hospital in Washington, D.C., from the Government Hospital of the Insane to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, so that nobody could really put it together where you can merge the medical tyranny and you can merge the police state and have a nice, tidy, centralized, corporate, foreign-run, foreign-operated institution where tens of thousands of and I'm sure a lot, large chunk of the employees are good at heart and they want a good career and they want to serve, but they don't know who they're serving and they don't know who thought it was a nice funny joke to go set up their headquarters in an insane asylum, a former insane asylum. I think it's the west campus of this St. Elizabeth's Hospital. So when you merge the police and medical, you have basically you don't have a constitutional republic. You don't have The police officers are in very difficult situation because they have to follow orders or they lose their job, their career. And if they don't follow it, they end up in situations like where they're charged at mutiny and all this other stuff. So, it's a very sad situation. So the solution is to understand the people who run the show. They think this kind of stuff's a funny joke. This is the kind of stuff that people would laugh about at the very top, with their single malt scotch and their cigars or whatever it is that they're into. And they would say, we got the government hospital for the insane. We decided we're going to make that the headquarters for the Department of Homeland Security. Oh my goodness. So this is something that is, people need to understand that the people at the top, they don't worry about paying bills. They don't worry about should I double mask or not. They're laughing. And we need to know our system. We need to know our community. And this is how you unravel the problem, through education and finding information that you add one piece here to the next piece and to the next piece. And now you start to get a loose picture of how these people work. And then I said, well, you know, if the DHS wants to set up shop in an insane, a former insane asylum, what a great way from a business strategy standpoint to merge into the medical system and then, you know, use that combined power with the CDC and the others. And by the way, the CDC is a private corporation. It's a private corporation. It's on Dun and Bradstreet. You can go look it up. Now they've changed. Sometimes they like to change the search engine and they tell you, you know, you go type it in real simple, but it doesn't give you the answer. You have to type in Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Then you'll find it. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And you'll find that the CDC is a privately owned corporation. And it says the ultimate parent is the United States government. But then if you go look up on Dun and Bradstreet, and by the way, for those people who aren't familiar with Dun and Bradstreet, it's like a search engine for companies. If you want to find where Apple or Google or all these companies are registered, one of the places on the internet you can go look it up is called Dun & Bradstreet. And then you have to do the company search and you'll find it there. So the reason why I brought up the DHS, the CDC, and the government of the United States is that for those, and I grew up in America, I went to high school in America, I was really, really lucky. I had a lot of family and friends that were good to me, and And so I always thought, wow, the States is pretty awesome. And, I love the idea that it's about the right thing. It's about freedom. Well, lo and behold, I find out in my mid 40s that if I go in Dun & Bradstreet, I type in government of the United States, and there is the parent corporation with Joe R. Biden Jr. and, you know, the gang, is there as part of the company profile. So it doesn't say Constitutional Republic here at Dun & Bradstreet. It says a corporation, a parent corporation. And so this is why I wanted to bring this up, is because when you have a medical tyranny that is operating out of an insane asylum, and it's all part of a corporation, and it's a federal corporation, of course. That's what I mentioned in the past in the other previous shows. And I kept harping on that federal corporation. It's not a constitutional republic in the Cornell Law website that I mentioned in the previous shows. I wanted to provide a better form of proof for those people who are like, you know what? I don't know who this guy is. I don't know where he's getting this stuff from. I'm giving you sources so that you can see it yourself. I've been working on this kind of stuff, not just for the corporation stuff, but I've been working on this for 20 years, a little bit more than 20 years. And I owe a large chunk of my understanding to a man named Jordan Maxwell. And his family back in the day, way, way back, if you go look at another corporation, it's called the District of Columbia, you know, the government of District of Columbia. And it says that the land was given as a donation from Maryland and Virginia to create Washington, D.C., that 10 square miles. Well, Jordan's family in the past, I think it was the Carroll side, he was the man, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, who donated the land. A very wealthy man in the Carroll family. And so I think the original purpose, I don't want to speak on behalf of anybody else, but I suspect the original purpose was to help American people have their own place so we can be free. But it's been transformed over the years into something that's called a corporation. And if you look on the Dun & Bradstreet website, and I'm telling this for those, because on the internet, for those who are just listening, you can't see what I'm talking about. I'm reading it directly off of their website, Government of the United States. If you scroll down, it says the year it was started was 1787. Okay. So there's a giant gaping hole here that people need to really become aware of. What happened that the U.S. became a corporation, and now everybody's been having fun. I had fun. I went to the movies. I went to football games on Friday to watch, you know, at high school, all the good things in life. I had some difficulties too, but I want to focus on the good things. That's what made America great in my childhood, pretty good. Is I need to understand why is it so upside down today. And so you need to understand this kind of stuff. And then when you look at, you know, this vaccinations and the COVID stuff, it starts to make sense where you have you're merging different industries to take over the human body. Just like George was talking about in the first hour, they're going to crystallize you and all this stuff. I'm not a doctor, but I understand there's a takeover happening. And I saw videos, which I can't confirm, about magnetization. You know, some people are having magnets. I don't know how real that is. But I do know that there are articles of the National Library of Medicine saying the super paramagnetic nanoparticle delivery of DNA vaccine. I know that's real as an article, and it's legit, and it talks about this kind of stuff, and it supports a lot of the material that George was talking about and other speakers on this network who were willing to delve into the subject. And I was thinking about it. If people are being injected with this stuff, which I hope every time I come on the air, because I'm not really interested in being a public figure, but I do this because I hope somebody out there will say, wait a minute, I looked up just a fraction of what this guy's talking about. I'm going to rethink Do I want to do this to my body? Do I want to proceed? What if there's something not correct in all this? So doing your homework and being educated is part of what I would consider thoughtful, purposeful life. And I don't tell anybody what to do, and I don't force anything, but I would highly recommend people look into this stuff. And then sort of a little bit of a speculative reach on my side is I have some friends who work in IT, and I was in one day just in a conversation in passing, they talked about a website called Shodan, S-H-O-D-A-N, Shodan.io on the internet. And it's basically a search engine. You can look up any smart TV, any smartphone, any smart toaster if they exist, and you can find it, and you can geolocate it and find out everything about it. And I'm assuming some people can probably, do nefarious things with that information. But it's also a tool used for IT networks to track to see how their smart network is doing. Well, what if the vaccines evolve into, if they're not already possibly, a connecting point to the Internet of Things? And that one day you'll be able to look up people on the Internet of Things as part of a search engine, where they are, what they're doing, what did they have for lunch. The government could probably already do it already, or the corporate government. So this is a future. If you want, I don't want this future, but if someone out there wants this future, you need to understand, where everything's connected and we're all together in the digital realm. No, you need to understand that this is a very dangerous, slippery slope that we're on. And I have reservations about how supposedly tens of thousands of, or more good Americans who apply for a job to protect America and a corporation that is operated out of a former insane asylum. What was it? Google rented out the headquarters of the Stasi. It was years ago in Germany. The people who run the show, this is like funny and humorous to them. It's not funny to me at all. And so this is the kind of material that I try to present to help people get a closer or a clear image of what's going on and compare and double check everything I say. Very important. But anyways, I didn't want to rant too much, but I want to mention this is very important. And I don't know what your thoughts are on this, George, but I'm all ears.
Well, by and large, once they hook us up, Elon Musk said that if you have an iPhone, you're already a cyborg. I played a clip from him last year, I believe, that this is the ultimate game plan. And then Rick Wiles went to the Barcelona World Mobile Phone Conference in probably 2018, because there was no travel in 2019. And he came out green after listening. Everyone's going to have an IP number. And everyone's going to be hooked up to the internet, not your phone. You are going to have an IP number. So you're quite correct that this is their long-term strategy. And by not knowing where they're taking us, it's like getting in a car with the mob. You get the cement galoshes and you don't find out till they chuck you in the river where you're really going. But you just know you're getting in the car with the mob and it isn't going to be a good ride at all. And like any other kind of deviant, that's what they're looking for their victims, is to try to lure you into something so you are trapped, whether it be a location, a vehicle, or something of that like. And I see that very clearly. A long time ago, I came in to a picture that helped me understand Washington, D.C., and the early history, which is probably all classified still even to this day. But it tells us very clearly what we're in, and they're called the Boundary Stones around Washington, D.C. That land was given to be 10 miles square. That was the jurisdiction of the United States, and it's written on the stone. It says 1792, jurisdiction of the United States. That was the border, and then you'd cross to the other side, and on the other side of the stone, it would be the state of Virginia or the state of Maryland. But that tells us very, very clearly that the corporation, the federal city, whatever it was to be contained in that 10-mile square. And over the years, there's been massive overreach and understanding what was there makes me even start to think that might be the main root cause of the Civil War that no one will ever explain to us or tell us, because we're still being strangled by the monster as it envelops everywhere. And, you know, maybe even to the extent the whole planet. But these three cities, the City of London, the Vatican, and D.C., are all special cities in stature. And Vatican City is its own nation state. The City of London is the business conglomerate of the world. And D.C. also seems to have some sort of very special significance. And the way it's laid out in a totally Masonic grid is also something that's deeply disturbing, because there's almost like an evil entity or force has determined its construction from the get-go. And it's not what we think it is. And we live with that illusion in the rest of the nut house that exists outside of it. But, you know, that's a very, very interesting thing you found. Another one I found, too, for surveillance was the telephone building in D.C. The FBI used that to be able to tap all the wires of all the phones back in the old days and go fishing, you know, even though it's illegal, it's not permitted, it's like nothing's going to happen, and they all do it all the time. So I just take that as a given. And such, but it was really ironic that Donald Trump bought the building, even though it was old and antiquated. And, you know, you wonder what lines have gone through it in its day that still exist or may still be accessible. So I found that to be a bit uncanny that, you know, he knows the game. The hard part is, which side is he playing on? And is it for himself, for us, or for something that we don't even know about? But that's part of what we have to deal with. And these corporations that are governments, they don't really tell us that in school. But in the city I live in, it says right on their masthead, this is the corporation of the city of. It's written on their vehicles. There's no mistake. I just never looked it up on Dun & Bradstreet. I take it as a given. Anyway, we're coming up to the break. On the other side, Jeffrey Matt will continue our discussion of our insane asylums.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Man of food storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use whitener toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds, such such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamol.com. That's theparamol.com.
Spring is here, and so are your allergies. That's why we have quercetin at a 15% discount, available at thepowermall.com. Quercetin, it's a potent antioxidant to support immunity and normal allergen response. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. 15% off quercetin this month only at thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us in the next segment, Jeffrey Mett, calling from Montreal. And we have a whole lot to talk about because the globalists are working overtime to take over our terra firma, using everything by hook or by crook. And generally, crooks use the crook, and they're making a hell of an inroad on our life. One of the big things we have to remember about the United Nations is that Alice Bailey, a disciple of Russian theosophist Madame Helen Blavatsky, formed something called Lucifer Trust, which probably didn't go over too well in 1920, so she changed it to Lucis Trust in 1922, and they have all sorts of ascended masters to carry out the work of a Luciferian master plan for the establishment of a permanent age of Aquarius, ruled by one Sanat Kumara, the Lord of the World. And that's part of the New Age relationship. This trust possesses consultative status within the United Nations and meets weekly with powerful business and national leaders throughout the world. So we see very, very clearly that this whole concept of a world government and total control over our earthly realm has been long established as a conspiracy to steal it from us. The corporatization of it is just steps along the way to remove our hands from the steering wheel, because we don't drive the corporation. We may think we have leaders, but if they're leaders of a corporation, the officers of a corporation, they're in no way permitted or allowed or even designated to do anything that's in our interest. It's only in the interest of the corporation, because we live in an illusion where we think that's the reality, that our government is something we vote for and control, and nothing could be further from the truth. It's all a sleight of hand brought to you by people who ultimately are developing Lucifer's master plan. And what is in the injection? What is one of the, you know, this thing that sends shockwaves around the world is something called Luciferase, which will put something in you to make you glow and be readable. Whose property will you be then? I don't think you will be a sovereign soul or individual after that. And in time, we'll see how the zombie apocalypse starts to pan out. Here the Canadian government actually published a policy paper on that, and Jeffrey was kind enough to remind me of it. So it's good to have the link handy so, you know, I can bounce it off a few other people and see what kind of traumas we can cause in their mind as neurons collide and thoughts are formed. But it is a devastating paper, to say the least. What did you think about it, Jeffrey? Jeffrey, can I have you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. So, yeah,
okay,
I have.
What did you think about that policy paper?
That policy paper was a mind blower. So that is important because it provides a window of how the government is trying to create an environment, a psychological environment where it somehow is super trendy. It's going to be really fun. We're going to have incredible benefits. It's all advertising and marketing. It has nothing to do with reality, common sense, or truth, where you take your personal life, your personal privacy, and you combine it with the AI. And you combine it with this Internet of Things. And at one of the components in this document that I found fascinating is that it was giving, you know, sort of like giving artificial examples, like, well, we can give you customized nutrition for your microbiome, which is whatever types, whatever you have in your intestines, in your guts, when you digest food, there to protect you. It's, you're basically a large chunk of your immune system. But if you connect yourself to this, the trade-off of getting perfect diets and perfect foods and maybe having all this stuff is you have to give up your microbiome mathematically, biologically, scientifically, electrochemically over to the algorithms, over to the AI, and merge with this thing. And then in return, by giving up all the inside information on you, you'll get maybe 10% off on your food, or you'll get some goodies from certain corporations that are making types of foods that are compatible with your microbiome. And for those people who aren't familiar with the microbiome, it's basically just a scientific analysis of the good and bad bacteria in your gut lining and other organs that are connected to that, that process your food and keep you alive and hopefully healthy. And to give up that privacy of the, what's happening on the inside of your body, where a corporation can just say, well, we'll give you 5% off or a free meal every month so you can try our, you know, our I don't need to do that. I'd rather go outside and spend time with friends and go work on a farm or my own home garden. If you have a back, for those who do have a backyard or available, do it yourself. The way God designed us, we already have a winning formula. It's called eating foods from Earth that are not modified, but there's a big push for all this stuff. And so this document goes on and on about how your life supposedly is going to be better by merging with this technology. It's just crazy.
Oh, indeed. I just see in there where I become, you know, basically like a rabbit in a cage, but a very technological cage. Like it talks about, you know, how your sheets will just grow on your bed, and the fridge will read everything. That they'll have sensors down the drain to know what you flush down there, to be able to moderate your diet and examine your body to the most unbelievable degree, just like you're a lab animal in some sort of cage. It's just a cute little cage, but in reality it is a cage. And the only way to break out, I guess, maybe that's part of the process, is training us with the lockdowns to get accustomed to the fact that you're in your abode a lot longer than you normally would be, and to get used to the basically imprisonment scenario. And then with the social credit system, not even be able to leave, or to leave under, you know, like bail conditions anytime you leave your prison. These are very, very serious issues that arise out of this. And a lot of the techno geeks have said this, that this is what's coming, to make no mistake about it. And a lot of the really great authors in time as well have talked about this. So when we look at George Orwell, He worked for British intelligence in a manner where you would contrive newspaper articles for propaganda purposes for England in the communist and wartime eras, and he knew what the long-term plans and objectives were, I'm sure, and this was his release valve to try to warn us in literature. So 1984 and Brave New World were the two most well-read books in the 20th century of the top 100, as I recall, when we flipped the switch and went into a new century, and probably largely forgotten now because people just don't seem to read as much. And that's a terrible state of affairs, really, because that's leaving us vulnerable, very, very vulnerable to walk into the trap he was trying to warn us about. And a lot of the other people, you know, writing novels like Brave New World, and now it's a TV show where, you know, you're put into this just dystopian world. It's almost like it's some kind of natural way to live, is just beyond belief. Beyond belief. It's just hard to understand how anyone would ever pick that. So because they know that and we know that, they drove us through and into the trap. And yeah, there's an old saying about fear frequently. You leave the frying pan, as bad as it may be, and jump into the fire to be consumed. And that's biblically prophetic. It's also part of their end game, as I read their material, that if they collapse our space and remove us from it, they'll destroy everything that's left by fire to completely eliminate what was created for us and turn it into a wasteland.
Yeah, and whoever supposedly owns this planet, you know, that has a form that people, you and I, would consider called human, they don't want any of us around. They said to themselves, why would we need 6-7 billion people when we have the technology, we have the science? Now it's time to get rid of everybody. But before everybody goes, we want to do one last giant harvesting. So we're going to get people sick in different ways. We're going to run it all from a former insane asylum, if you're in the U.S. incorporated. And by the way, it's not to be denigratory to anybody who is an employee at the DHS. It's just that you need to know who you're dealing with, and you need to find out, you know, what's behind the scenes. You know, following policy and protocol, that doesn't make the cut anymore in this stage. You need to know who you're supporting, who you're dealing with. But when you look at all this stuff and you combine it with the social credit, which I've talked on air with Daniel in the past, if you want an example of how the social credit went from non-existent to now the Canadian government, which is a corporation on the Securities Exchange Commission in the United States, and there's a document called CanadaBeyond150.ca. And the name of the document is called Capital and Debts, Capital and Debt, on CanadaBeyond150.ca. And if you go look at it, it doesn't say social credit. It's called the access economy. So the access economy is saying that, well, lots of people aren't going to do so well, and so you can rent your lifestyle instead of owning it, and then you'll save the world by doing that. Well, you are now, and whoever decides to go along with this, and I know the listenership is most likely wants nothing to do with it, and we need you. I mean, I need you, because just because I have a basic cursory understanding of what's happening doesn't mean the problem is solved. We need to share. You know, people will say, well, where's the solution? You have all this horrible documentation, all this crazy stuff. The solution is you. The solution is you understanding that you're better than this, and you've always been better than this, and you have so much more to offer. And if you don't step up, I'm going to lose everything. And if I don't step up and I don't do stuff like this, which is very, very detrimental to my personal life, but if I don't step up and find out and share this information, eventually we're going to lose everything, and we're going to be in a situation where your children, if those who have children, It's a blessing in your life to have children. They will not have a fraction of what we had, and it'll be a horrible outcome. This is not, to me, the correct direction. And if I were to really, really strip it down and really strip it back, and there's no veneer anymore, there's no fancy paint coloring on the wall, you get down to the nuts and bolts of all this, is that if I were to say it this way, if you're working in the military and law enforcement, you need to understand it's being operated as a cult. That doesn't mean you're a cult member. It doesn't mean that you're into, it means that at the top, it's being operated as a cult. It includes bunches of secrets, right? Well, if you take that, police orders in the United States is called the Fraternal Order of Police. Fraternal. So, It's a secret society that a lot of the police officers may or may not be aware of. I don't know. I'm not a police officer. I don't have a background in it. You do. But there's a psychology that's hidden inside the unspoken this and the unspoken that. You can't do this and you can't do that, even though it's not illegal. But if you start pointing this stuff out, boy, you're going to have a hard time having a career. So the people need to understand you're dealing with people who are in a cult that operates like a secret society, and that secret society is connected to one of the major, major players in this whole thing, is a solar cult. Thank you, Jordan Maxwell, for helping unlock one of the most incredible, what I would consider, puzzles that I've ever come across, and I'm sure anybody who's intellectually astute, which is the listenership, will understand that when you look at symbols and you look at pictures, there's much more to it than just what on the surface. And so that solar cult appears in different places. The Schwab Foundation, it's a sunrise. The CDC in Atlanta, the Center for Disease Control, the main sign outside the front door has little rays coming behind the word CDC. And that's my interpretation. I haven't confirmed this part yet, but it's my interpretation that they're part of the solar cult. And, Jeffrey Sachs, he does a book. Jeffrey Sachs is, big time into this. He loves the knowledge of the sun order. And so he has sun symbols on some of his books. And, Walmart uses the sun symbol on their store, right? And you're going to say, well, Walmart didn't always have the sun symbol. Well, that's how it starts out. Apple did not start out as a $1 trillion company with Uyghur camps and people say, oh, I don't like how you're talking or behaving today. I think I'm going to harvest your organs. You take them away. And so that kind of stuff, it doesn't start out that way. It works its way into it. That's how they operate. They let it start organically. And then they get it to a certain place, and if they like the people, they keep the ones they like, and they let it grow. And then they finally do the conversion. And so even the pictures of the coins of the Amero, which never came to fruition, that has sun symbols all over the coins. And so the sun, it's a sun order. And even if there's more than one cult out there that's behind all this, this seems to be the big daddy. And in my humble opinion, even if the Jesuit logo, if you look up the Jesuits, their logo is of a sun. And so this whole thing smacks of a secret society cult, the opposite of the America that welcomed me as a young boy, welcomed me into their homes with Thanksgiving dinners and tailgate parties and 4th of July's. That's not the America I grew up in. When I found out about all this, you have no idea how concerned I became. And so I feel that understanding that it's a solar cult that's behind all this, you know, look at the logo for BP. It's like a flower. The people who are at the top, they like to convert and pervert and alter things, but they know what it really represents. Just like Shell, they'll say, oh, Shell is just, it's a seashell. Yes, there is some history that confirming that. But I think, I don't know this for sure 100%, but I think Jordan Maxwell had written Shell and they had confirmed to him that it was actually a sunrise. the Shell logo. So you're dealing with a conspiracy of a cult and a secret society, and we need to change the way the police system operates and convert it to constitutional republic where it's law enforcement. And no matter how bad the emergency gets, it doesn't mean you lose everything and you have to give up your microbiome to get food from the Internet of Things and lose all your privacy. That's not the Canada that I was part of and I'm still in. It's a corporation. I don't want that. I want freedom. I want freedom for everybody, not just for me. Even the people who I'm not thrilled about, they should have freedom too. And then as a community, we come in and we take care of business and we get involved with making sure this kind of stuff where it isn't 90% corruption and 10% honest people falling apart in their offices where people have to leave the office because their colleagues don't want to make waves. So this is, you know, the social credit system and the Luciferase and all this stuff. It's all sun worship. It's all to control. And, it's a very, very sad story. I mean, I could go into it. When you see the pictures of what I'm talking about, my credibility in what I'm presenting, not me personally, but the credibility in what I'm presenting will skyrocket because the pictures will help you see what I'm talking about because this is very difficult to describe on the air. But it's very, very important that people do it. And also, too, I'm sort of, you know, for those people who want to unwind and enjoy movies, there's all kinds of movies that can help give you pieces of the puzzle of how they break this all down. And I just want to mention a few titles to everybody for those who are interested because this kind of research is very dark. But sometimes some movies do a good job, and one of them, the movies, is called Code 46. That's an interesting movie where the AI decides if you can travel and you can take a virus to become an augmented human. And another one, a movie, is called Songbird. And it only came out last year. Some people probably won't know about it. And if you like the social credit system, I'm being facetious. I don't like it at all. As a matter of fact, if we absolutely had no choice to have a social credit system, and I had the power to make it happen, I would only make it available to people who go into public office so that we can know what the people who we voted for are actually doing. And they can't go hide and go into secret meetings and endless secret societies, and they're all connected and nobody knows about it except for a few million people on Earth. Those people need to be put in a situation where they need to be tracked. But again, that would be opening the door to a police state. So the thing is, though, is if you want to know more about the social credit system in America and a loose idea of it, the movie is called The Circle. And that came out in 2017. And for those people who are really into outlandish stuff, you can watch a movie called The Congress. It came out in 2013 with Robin Wright. And another example of the social credit system that came out, the loose version of it, in 1993 with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes. It's called Demolition Man, where if you say anything out of line, you get a ticket. And, of course, one of my favorite movies, not in regards of the what it represents, but how I learned so much from it, is called Soylent Green. It came out in 1973. It's, you know. So there's a little bit of a spectrum there for everybody, for those people who do watch movies. I love movies, and I've learned a lot. And this is how I was able to discern so much, is by watching TV shows and movies and reading and being around educated minds, listening to the Power Hour, listening to Daniel, listening to all kinds of incredible minds. Catherine Austin Fitz, who really breaks down the social credit information. It was a planet lockdown. I mean, hands down, David Icke, on and on and on. I always mention Jordan Maxwell because I've worked and lived with him for years. And I think he's really the source of helping understand how deep this rabbit hole really goes. I think it's a solar cult and it's a Vatican operation. and they use secret societies, and they've totally taken over the police departments. And now that they've done all that, I mean, there's nothing left to make them laugh, the people at the top, not the police officers who have to go out there and do all the hard work. They go out and they set up shop in an insane asylum, and they, and all their business, and they complete the merging of medical tyranny with the police state. What better way to do it? So this is the kind of thing that, I do. It's not for everybody, but it's critical information that will help people move away from the endless string of lies that the mainstream media is always pumping in our lives. And really, at the end of the day, the solution, this is something I want to mention before we get off here, very important. In 2008, we had a bailout, and most people have forgotten about it. Well, I haven't forgotten about the bailout. And the question I ask myself is, who did the bailout? Who temporarily postponed the collapse for over 10 years? And then how is that money used? And of course it was stolen. Of course it was misappropriated. Of course. And so whoever did that, I would love to know who did it, because my suspicion is that it wasn't a dark force that created the bailout. I suspect there's a possibility it might be someone or people or whoever it is that created an opportunity to postpone this horror that we're about to face. And that postponement gave us an extra few years so that we could reach this stage where there's a now a small chance for us to overcome all this. And I think people should be asking themselves the question, who did the bailout in 2008? Because essentially, they're a partial owner of the U.S. Incorporated now. So that's very important.
Indeed. Well, we're coming up to the music. It's time to adios. One of the other great corporate logos is CBS, the all-seeing eye. Thank you, Jeffrey. Robert Kennedy said, each time a person stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others, they send forth a tiny ripple of hope. These ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. We do that here at the Power Hour. We do that with you and all our guests. God bless you, Jeffrey. Thanks for coming out today.
Thank you so much.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.